charity. And today we're going to focus on that verse number 6. It says, and to knowledge, temperance, that's where we were at last week, and to temperance, patience. You know, those that we look at as we go throughout life are that desire to follow what God wants for them are people that are ones who oftentimes are going to experience pressures in life. Pressure is one of the most constant things of life. And the only way that we can learn to thrive under pressure is to learn what Peter was mentioning in this one word, and that is how to be constant under pressure, how to endure, how to truly be what the Bible means when it says to be patient. And so I want to talk to you about patience today, and I want to help you understand more about what biblical patience actually is. And I hope that this day will help you to have a little bit better understanding of that as we go. Let's pray one more time. I know we've prayed already, but ask the Lord to bless this lesson as we look into it. Father, thank you so much for the truth that we are going to look at over the next 25 minutes or so. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to express what you desire for us to look at and understand from this passage of Scripture. Lord, I know that you have a lot for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd prepare us for what we will face in life as we listen and as we understand a little bit better this truth today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness one more time. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this year, you've probably already seen a little bit, if you got a bulletin today or over the last couple of weeks, we have a theme at our church or an emphasis that we want to make. And it's very appropriate for the last couple of weeks for the study that we were in. Last week, we looked at temperance, which is learning self-control. And today, we want to look at patience. And truly, the only way to continue, and that's our theme, is to learn to be patient. We've all been stuck behind somebody that was driving on the road a lot slower than we wanted to go. I got stuck behind one today, and I almost got stuck behind another one, but I managed to probably make them upset and get in front of them before they got in front of me. And we all do that, so don't look at me too bad. But we've all been there. And we've all heard people say, oh, don't pray for patience, because you know what God gives you? An opportunity to develop it, right? And we've all probably had those times where we've been stuck behind somebody thinking, man, I really need to be where I need to be. I left at the last possible moment that I had to get there on time. And since I'm now behind this person and they're only going to slow me down by 25 seconds, I will be late. And if you're you've been there, I've been there more times than I probably care to even acknowledge. But we have all been in those times. And those ones would be the easy times to think about. But there are certainly times in our lives that are much more difficult than that. There are stories all around us of people who have endured through times that truly mattered and that truly resulted in something that was quite extraordinary. I've read a lot. I've listened to a lot of books, as many of you already know. But one of the people that I have studied a lot about in the last couple of years is Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt has just become one of the most interesting characters that I have come across as I have learned more and more about our history as a country. And there's a lot in his life that could be pointed to. He's just an interesting man. But when Teddy Roosevelt was no longer the president, you know, he became president about 1900 or so in 1901, and he was president up through 1908 or 1909. And at the end of his presidency, he did a couple different things that were pretty interesting. One was right after he was done being president, he took a trip to Africa and went on an African safari, and we know a lot really about that because he wrote a lot about it and different things, but he did that. But then he came back, and when he came back from Africa, his good friend Taft, the one who became president after him, that he had pretty well groomed to become the president, had kind of gone back on some of the political stands that they had taken as they had been friends for many, many years, laboring together in politics. And so Teddy Roosevelt then tried to get reelected as president, and he really came pretty close, which is pretty an astounding event in political history, and changed some things, and probably didn't help too much. But unfortunately for him, in his mindset at least, he was unsuccessful. And after that defeat, he decided he just wanted to kind of get away from everything. So he did something that that brings me to this moment today. He decided to go down to Brazil and to explore a river that had been recently basically discovered. Obviously, there were people, natives of Brazil, that had known it was there for a long, long time. But he decided to go down onto this this river. This river's name was the River of Doubt. And no one had ever gone from the headwaters of this river all the way down to wherever it went to. I can't remember all the details of it. I'm just kind of pulling it out from memory. But that river was one of, and is one of, the most dangerous rivers that can be traversed in the country of Brazil. And so they got a team together. They went down there and they got on this trip, and as the trip went on, it was filled with everything you would not want to be filled with if you were a man of the age of Teddy Roosevelt and all the rest that were with him. It was a time where they lost their canoes in rapids. They were plagued by sickness and all kinds of different things, and hunger, because if you lose your canoes in the rapids, you probably had your food in there. So they lost just about everything they had. They were plagued with different sicknesses along. They were hounded by piranhas, and there was even murder within the group that was there. And they just kept pushing through all the way to the end, and they managed to obviously make it through to the other side of this. And it was just an astounding feat for him to accomplish. And the only way he ever could have done it is if he just endured. Around that same time, there was actually quite a few different events that happened that were pretty amazing. Robert Peary went to the North Pole after multiple attempts. He arrived there in 1909 after losing all but two of his toes, having lost many companions, having at one point having gotten within 174 miles of the North Pole and having to turn back around because of several delays causing them to run out of food. But he finally made it. And then Roald Amundsen made it to the South Pole in 1911 after really experiencing several similar circumstances that they had experienced in the North Pole. Edmund Hillary made it to the top of Mount Everest for the first time in 1952, Jacques Picard made it to the bottom of the Marianas Trench after experiencing all the pressure, and really his whole life going through a lot of things to design an instrument, a boat basically, or a submarine that would make it all the way to the bottom. And I don't remember how low it is, 35,000 feet or something below the water. And it just, every one of those people experienced similar things to what Roosevelt, him and his son, experienced on that trip. Just difficulty and sickness and setback after setback. And all throughout each one of those circumstances, whether it was reaching the highest point in the world or the lowest, or traveling one of the most difficult rivers to travel, or going to some other place throughout the world, what they had to do was just endure. Obviously, a lot of people quit. If the first person to climb to the top of Mount Everest made it there in 1952, you imagine that there's probably somebody that tried in 1951 that didn't make it, or 49, or in the 1800s. Somebody that quit. You know, the true key to being known as somebody that's faithful is not quitting. I've heard pastors say it on several occasions. If you want to have that testimony, if somebody was doing your funeral, and you hear somebody at their funeral, somebody say, "Oh man, Grandpa was faithful," You think about how do they get known to be that type of person? Well, there's one surefire way to have that testimony. Be faithful till then, till your funeral. Continue. Endure what it is that you are called to endure. As you go through life, there will be things that you and I will face that down the road, if you knew what you were going to have to face 25 years from now, right now, you might throw in the towel right now. But the things that you will face between now and then, God intends to use to prepare you for them. But the true key that Peter was trying to communicate to everybody in this moment was just learn what it means to be patient. Peter had a short amount of time to communicate a whole lot of truth. And that's what every one of these lists in the Bible represents. It's just, I'm just going to use one word, and I'm just going to let you extrapolate everything from it you possibly can, and that's probably what I mean. And Peter says to these believers that are scattered abroad, that are facing persecution, that are being tempted to quit, or being tempted to walk off into sin, he says, it's time for you to learn to be patient. And so we want to learn today the actions that patience involves so that we can be patient as well. And so I want to talk to you about just a few things this morning. The first one is this, and I've really kind of woven in and around it already, but this is it. Patience, first of all, endures. Patience endures. A lot of times when we think of patience, we think of this kind of passive attitude that we have to just kind of accept or adopt if we're going to actually make it through. Oh, man, well, if you're just patient, you'll get there. If you'll just wait, then you'll find out what's going to happen. And so we kind of envision this person that's just kind of like, well, I'm just kind of going to hunker in and wait till it's all over. That's not really what biblical patience is. As a matter of fact, the word patience in the Bible has a very colorful meaning, and it means to abide, to remain, to stay under, to reside, to be patiently enduring, or to have steadfast endurance. And so it's not just this idea of, well, I'm just going to wait here until something happens. It's the idea of somebody that is actually going to carry the load of what they are carrying all the way to the end of the journey. A good picture would be the sled dogs that they had to take to the North Pole. These sled dogs, what did they have? They had the harness on, they were strapped to all the other dogs, and they had to carry that sled from where they started to where they stopped. And they were remaining under the burden, but they were going to continue to push through all the way to the end. And that's what Peter really implies when he speaks of the idea of patience. It's really patience, as I studied out this particular word throughout the Bible, it's one of the most frequently returned to themes in the New Testament, and I would say probably even in much of the Bible. Every New Testament epistle writer, except for Jude, spends quite a bit of time talking about patience in its various manifestations in our life. So that means Peter talked about it. When Peter talked about it, obviously we see one of the mentions today. He spoke most often of the purpose of enduring and the things that would often have to be endured. Peter was a little bit more specific a lot of times. Paul, when he talked about enduring or patience, would often mention something that would come alongside of us in the midst of the journey. He would talk about the joy that we could have as we were patient. He would talk about the way that we could endure or the ability that God would give. John would speak most frequently of the companionship that we had as we endured. James was probably the most explicit in his mentions of the product of endurance, of patience. But every one of them, while they covered similar ideas, taught us a lot that we could learn about simply continuing. And as you face the Christian life, one of the key virtues that you could ever learn in your life is just this one. God, just help me keep going. You see, as I've told you each week, every one of these builds on the other. Last week when we learned about temperance. Temperance, in short, is learning to deny ourselves. It is living in self-control. You know, you're never going to be able to endure if you're not in control of yourself. I mean, that's just kind of it would be the baseline aspect of it. But, well, I got to make it through. If I'm going to make it through, I'm going to have to be able to kind of say, well, I know that's true of this reality, but I'm not going to let myself get out of control and despair in a moment of despair, or be discouraged in a moment of discouragement, or quit in a moment of pressure, or when the time that has elapsed has been so long. And so we see that these things truly do all add up to the qualities that God wants us to have. And so what I want you to notice about enduring, or patience enduring, is that there are several specifics about that that we need to make sure we notice. The first of all is what we endure, and that is the tests that we face in life. James is, as I said, one of the ones that speaks of this concept. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. You say, well, temptation, you know, what do you mean? What did he mean? Because when we think of temptation, we have really one specific thing, and I'm actually going to use that word in a second in that way. But what James meant when he mentioned temptations was simply the tests that you go through in life, the tribulations that you face. Matthew Henry said it this way: we are born to trouble. That's a quote from Job. And we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it is this tribulation, which is meant, that verse is really in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, which worketh patience. That is, requires the exercise and occasions the increase of this grace, whereby we bear all calamities and crosses with silence and submission, without murmuring against God or complaining of him, but justifying him who lays all affliction upon us, owing that our sufferings are less than our sins deserve, and believing that they are no more than we ourselves need. And there's obviously a lot in there, but what he's trying to say is this: you are going to face hard things. You are going to go through tests of your faith. You are going to endure trials that bring you down to the lowest point of your physical nature. You are going to come up against a test in some aspect of life that is going to bring you to the end of yourself. You know, because man's extremity, the furthest point that a man can reach, the hardest that a man can try or woman can try, the most that we can do, man's extremity, is God's opportunity. You know, patience teaches us dependence. Because what we learn when we endure is that there is something more to this circumstance than the simple reality of it. There are tests. That's why I like the word tests. Because a test is supposed to reveal something. Whether we know what we should have known, or we're prepared or not. And if not, how you can get ready for it the next time. I'm about to take the test that I have to take to get my CDL, and I'm still working on it. I'm reading the book, I'm studying, I'm thinking, I'm going to take some practice tests and stuff throughout the week, because I want to make sure I'm ready. Tests are things that we come up against, and it reveals what's inside. And we have to be ready to face the tests because of all that God desires to do. But there were also temptations, you know, in 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, Peter speaks mostly of the fiery trials which are to try us. In 2 Peter, mostly he speaks of the temptations or the lures to sin that are being offered to us. And I covered that pretty extensively as we were looking at the idea of temperance last week, because of all things that we have to learn to deny, we have to learn to deny our flesh or our desires for things that are outside of God's will for us if we are going to be all that God desires for us to be. But the simple reality is there's a lot of those things. You will always be tempted, no matter how old you get, no matter how advanced or secure your position is. There will always be something that our enemies will try to dangle in front of you, whether it is a temptation to be immoral, whether it is a temptation to steal something, whether it's money or whether it's time from your employer, whether you are tempted simply just to be angry at people around you or to grow bitter because of life circumstances. It does not matter what stage of life you are at. The devil has something that he will try to use to get you off track. And if you're going to stay faithful, you simply have to endure. You can't cave. Really, endurance speaks more of the external pressures, while temperance speaks of the internal desires. I have to control my internal desire, and I have to resist the external pressure as we go through life. And so, we learn that patience endures tests and temptations, but it also endures time. One of the most probably unspoken realities about endurance is that it simply just takes time. Patience and time go together. Most of the time, when you are thinking about something you have to be patient about, it's because it's going longer than you want it to go. It's lasting longer than you want it to last. If it was short, it'd be like, oh, well, who cares? COVID has not been short, right? Like, however long ago it is now, it just seems like it's always been part of life anymore. And all of us are, a lot of times, just on a regular basis, having to interact with some change in life because of COVID. And it's this just one of the many things, but one probably of one of the most prevalent things that we've just had to learn. You just kind of got to keep going. And one day, hopefully, it will just be something we read about. And yeah, people will still get it, but it'll just kind of like be getting the flu or something like that. And it won't be what it is today. But we've just kind of had to go with it, as opposed to just wait and kind of hope, and just bemoan the fact that it's not over yet. And that's just it. As you endure, the fact is, the time most likely is already set for what you're going to have to face. You might as well just... I was going to say something, but I guess it's changed what I was going to say. Might as well just deal with it. And so we endure all of those things. But then I want you to notice this. We don't just endure... Those are the things that we endure, but I want you to notice how we endure. And this is really primarily taken from a lot about what Paul says. We endure triumphantly. We endure time. We endure temptations. We endure tests. But we endure triumphantly. There is one thing you notice about all that the Bible writers write about the idea of being patient. And that is that it's not this like, woe is me. It's just my life has been so bad recently and I'm just barely making it through. But man, one day it's going to get a whole lot better. That's not the way the Bible talks about it. Matter of fact, I want you to notice what Paul says. It says in verse number 7 of Romans chapter 2, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. That's what's on his mind when he endures. Not, man, this is hard, but man, that's going to be good. In Romans chapter 5, it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So when we think about patience, we think about how hard it is. But when Paul thought about patience, he thought about how good it was. The themes on his heart were the love of God, not being ashamed, the hope that would accompany it. And I want you to notice that these are the themes. He talks that patience is something that is joyful. Patience, biblically speaking, was something that was courageous, something that was strong. The characteristics that we find most often mentioned about enduring is not that I'm barely holding on, but that I am gladly accepting this and I am going to push through. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Patience is something. Enduring is something that we can do with a triumphant attitude. Why? Because God is with us. Because God is the one that gives us the strength as we go through it. You know, those qualities of patience are not true of the human way of responding to pressure. When you and I get pressured, when you have a big test coming up if you're still in school, or you had a big test coming up when you were in school, you are not just jumping up and down all giddy. I had a teacher that taught the chemistry and physics classes in my high school, and people would cry when they would go to the class and when they would come from the class when you had a test that day. I mean, it was rough. No one went to Mr. Staff's class with a smile on their face on test day. I mean, it didn't matter how much you studied or how good you were at the class. I mean, there was this inward trepidation and fear that you were just going to bomb this thing no matter how well you had listened. I mean, it was that way for just about everybody. No, I never cried when I left his class, but I came close probably every once in a while. I mean, it was rough. The human way of responding to pressures is a little bit more like a high schooler getting ready for a chemistry test than the way the Bible responds and says. No one naturally looks forward to hardship. But biblically, we can know. It doesn't really change the fact that, man, I just really want to ask for these tests and trials and long extrapolated periods of time where I just have to endure hard things. But I know that if they come, God will help me through it. And there's nothing better than that. And that's what we need to remember as we go. So patience endures. Patience also expects. And really what I want you to think about for just a second underneath this reality is the very fact that every time just about patience was mentioned in the New Testament, if it wasn't mentioned in that one verse, it was oftentimes the theme of the passage. It had something in view, and that was the coming of the Lord. The hope that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 5 is that God would manifest himself, that God would be at the end of the road, that one day we would get all the way through all of these things and everything would work out the way that God wants it to work out. And the book of Hebrews is really the book that probably fully shows us this the things that patience involves. And in Hebrews chapter number 6, there's really a lot of verses that we could think about, but I want to start reading verse number 9 and just read a few verses. It says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show this the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Abraham realized that God was at the end of it all. And if God is at the end of it all, the things that we wait for will be there with him. And Abraham's promise and the covenants that God made are one of the greatest examples that we can find in the Word of God of all that we expect to take place if you and I as believers just continue through it all. And that is that, number one, God is there at the end and we can look forward to him. And that God, the Bible says, brings his rewards with him. Everything that Abraham was promised, he received. You know, everything God has promised you, you will receive. God comes through with his promises. And so the inspiration that we have to endure is the fact that we would endure comes from the God who we focus our attention on. And the final thing is this: patience enriches. Enduring brings a quality to life that is that cannot be obtained in any other way. And I want you to notice these three ways, and I'm just really going to say them and we'll be done. First of all, it enriches our view of, our understanding of Christ. I'll get to that in a second, I guess, but Hebrews, once again, is probably the place that we could grab a verse just to remind us about this. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. In verse number 1, it talks about comes about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And then it says, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. We learn what it really, we learn to dwell in the sufferings of Christ with him. And we are able to draw closer to our Savior when we go through hard things. Our appreciation of past suffering is also raised when we go through hard things ourselves. And that would be close to the first one, and I won't even take the time to read the verses, but the book of James reminds us that it is all those who have gone before us that we can look back to as our example, and we can grow through that example so we can appreciate past suffering more. We can benefit from all that they went through as we go through it ourselves as well. And our relationships with others are also enriched as we go through the trials that we face. When you go through something with someone, the relationship you have with them on the other side is irreplaceably better. And that's what John speaks of frequently that I just can't even mention really any more than just to say that today. And so I say this. If you want to thrive under pressure, acknowledge the fact that pressures are a reality of life. Determine that you're just going to bear under them. Because God is at the end of the journey. God will reward the patience, whether at the end or all throughout. God's promises are sure to you, as they have been to everyone who has come before you. And it's worth it. It's worth it because you'll be closer to Christ. You'll be closer to the people that you go through it with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible will become more alive to you. And so when Peter said, add patience, he was just trying to say, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. So just keep going. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given. I pray you bless the service that we're about to have. Lord, thank you for this truth. Lord, I pray that we've done it justice this morning. And Lord, I pray that you bless this class in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Thank you. You are dismissed.